Now, on the day of Pentecost, the church was waiting in an upper room someplace in Jerusalem, afraid for their future and entirely uncertain about what they should do. And then the Holy Spirit of God fell on them and filled them with power. The followers of Jesus were emboldened to speak and to tell the world the good news. And what they told the world was this: Jesus, the Son of God, had come to earth and lived here among us. But Jesus had been betrayed into the hands of evil men and had been crucified. He died and was buried. Jesus had laid in the tomb dead for 3 days. But then he arose from the dead. And I got to say, hallelujah and amen, Jesus arose. And after his resurrection, he ascended to the Father. And even now, he sits at the right hand of God. They told the world that the day will come when the time is right, according to the plan of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come to earth again. Those fearful men, so uncertain of their future and of what they were supposed to do, found courage to preach the good news to all who would hear because they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And accompanying their words, there were signs and wonders given by God to affirm their message. Now, for the last several weeks here at Cornerstone, we have been discussing the healing of the crippled beggar who lay day after day at the beautiful gate of the temple. Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, had been used by God to heal the man. And when the man was healed, he walked, he ran, he jumped, and he shouted his praise to God Almighty. It was a sign from Almighty God to all who saw it and heard it, that the words of the gospel preached by the disciples of Jesus Christ were true. And the guy running and jumping all around the temple created a commotion. And a crowd gathered. And Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, started to preach to him, and he told him all that. Right there in the temple, Peter told them all that. But the authorities, those who ruled the temple and who governed what happened there, did not approve of Peter's message. So they arrested him. They threw him in jail and they held him in jail overnight. And the next day they told Peter and John that they must not ever, ever, never again preach to anyone in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John told the high priests of Israel that they would continue to preach about Jesus because God compelled them to do so. And realizing that they were powerless against these uneducated fishermen, but not realizing that they were opposing the power of the Holy Spirit, the authorities released Peter and John. And the scripture tells us that by the grace of God, the church of Jesus Christ had grown to 5,000 souls. In modern terms, it was a mega church. Now, after the authorities had released Peter and John, Peter and John went back to the church to tell the others what had happened to them. The Bible says that when the church heard Peter and John's story about their arrest, about their trial, the church prayed. The church prayed. Now, I want you to know that that's what the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing. All the time, consistently, without stopping, the church is supposed to be at prayer. You will remember Jesus' words. He quoted the prophet Isaiah. Jesus said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." In case you don't know it, this is God's house. And this house should be a house of prayer because Jesus commanded that it would be so. In obedience to our Lord, we should be and we must be a praying people. Now look carefully at the scripture. Look at what the church prayed on the day Peter and John were released. It's telling. That day the church prayed, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them." God is the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I don't care what the scientists and the intellectuals and the bright people of our culture tell you. I don't care what they say. God made it. And since he made it, it's his. By right, it belongs to him. He owns it. And therefore, as owner of it, he gets to rule it because it belongs to him. Now, Satan's at work right now, at this moment. Satan is at work. Even today, Satan is at work. Even on Sunday, Satan is at work to convince people that the world was not created by God. Simply because if God did not make it, he has no right to claim it, and therefore no right to rule it, and we are free then to do whatever we want to do. That's why there is such a huge push in our culture today to confuse our minds and to confuse the minds of young people with theories about creation that do not make any rational sense. Now, it just so happens that I brought with me my watch. This is an ancient prototype of modern watches. To make it work, you have to wind it up. Okay? It is a beautiful piece of jewelry that was actually given to me at Christmas time years and years ago by my wife. And I know that this is not the original watch, the first one that ever existed. But it is clearly a prototype of it. But it was not made by human hands. There was no intelligence beyond the creation of this watch. You see, the parts of its original, not this one, but the original one, were laying in a mud puddle. Most of them anyway. And somehow, by accident, with no help at all from any intelligent source, they just jumped together and became the first watch. Now, the first watch did not look like this one. Okay, it was not a lovely piece of jewelry as this one became. Because after the first one was accidentally created out of the mud puddle, watches evolved until they are now lovely things that just appear out of nowhere on Christmas Day. Now, folks, if that makes sense to you, if you truly believe that a watch can appear on its own out of nowhere, that no intelligent source is required to create it, would you please speak to me after church? I have a pool table I want you to buy. See, if God is not the creator, then he has no right to rule creation. But we here in this house acknowledge and proclaim boldly the truth. With the first church, we say he is the sovereign Lord because he is the creator of heaven and earth, and nothing will change it. It will be so until the end. Hallelujah and amen. That day, after they addressed him as sovereign Lord, the church prayed, Why do the nations rage and plot against God and his Messiah? They were praying the scripture, folks. They're quoting the words that David wrote centuries before. They come from Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. See, from the beginning of time, men have raged against God and plotted against his Messiah. In the prayer they prayed that day, the church listed those who at their time were plotting and working against God and his Messiah. They named Pontius Pilate, the chief priest of Israel, and all of those who refused to believe the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, in our time, things have not changed. Still, people will not surrender to the authority of God's word. Now, I'd like to name a few, just so you are clear. Okay? Try the High Court of the Nation. Abortion is contrary to the word of God. Try the Congress of the United States of America. And you might want to put down all the other politicians too. Still, the nations, our own nation, rages and plots against God and his anointed. They refuse to bow before the authority of God's word. All around us, they seek to do what seems right in their own minds because they choose to believe that he is not the sovereign Lord who created it. They rebel against God and they reject Jesus Christ as his son. It has been happening since the dawn of time. Even King David saw it. But the church prayed that day. Everything still unfolds according to the plan of God. I love it. They acknowledged that the rebellion of the people, all the plotting against the Messiah, had accomplished nothing. For God's plan and God's purpose was unfolding exactly as God intended for it to unfold. See, we are now right here in the kingdom of heaven, and the gates of hell cannot oppose the church of Jesus Christ. The will of God cannot be altered by the raging and plotting of human beings. God sees it all. God knows it all, even before it happens. Nothing in this world, nothing in the world to come can stop God. His plan for his creation and for his church will unfold. So said the church, we have nothing to fear. Make us bold, Father. Stretch out your hand and do your thing, oh God. Church, hear me. That should be our prayer. We should not be afraid to speak the gospel to anyone who will hear, because God himself is with us, and hell cannot win. So, when they said amen, when the prayer was ended, the house began to shake. And God answered their prayer because the Holy Spirit fell on them again with power. Church, start praying. Oh, Father, let the Holy Spirit fall on us and fill us again with.